welcome to this Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Now, I tell you, I've got a very, very simple message today, which is probably good. It's 9 hours time difference, and we've been, Kate and I have been staring at the clock at sort of half four in the morning. Hallelujah. This is the message. This is the whole of the message, but I'll flesh it out a little bit in a minute. It's stolen a lot of it from Bill Johnson, so never mind. He has some good messages. This is the message. Get filled, get a victory, get purpose, get it sorted. All right? So are you ready? You can repeat this after me. Get filled, get a victory, get purpose, get it sorted. Hallelujah, with apologies to Bill Johnson. Now, yeah, we had a great time out there. It was great watching another church in action as well. When they do their worship, it's very, very similar to ours, although completely different songs. And they have like conferences. I'm not sure they have it all the time, although we were there on a Sunday. They have about 5 prophetic artists on the stage doing stuff, which is interesting. And then they and good too. And then they have prophetic dance, which is even more interesting. Yeah, so you sort of get mostly ladies, but not totally, because there was a bit of male break dancing and wafting as well. But these ladies dressed in black with different colours, obviously for the different thing of the Holy Spirit. And they'll sort of come on. Personally, I found it a major distraction. But it's about using, I guess, everybody's talents. And that sort of... Well, they're obviously a lot better than I am, but really. But one of the best things that happened the entire conference, and Kate and I just burst out laughing because we both happened to be watching it, was that in the middle of somebody doing lots of stuff, you know, and she was into it big time. One of the leaders, Paul, his name is actually, he's from England, funnily enough. He came on stage and he was starting to speak and give. Sort of a prophetic word, I suppose, but over this side, and of course, everybody's looking at her, and poor Paul is getting totally neglected, and she's totally oblivious. So, what, and this is so cool, because they come from this little bit on the side, this little wing, and she's there dancing, and suddenly, a second dancer appears, and she sort of comes on like this. She did, didn't she? And this other one's doing this. But as she reaches out a hand, the one that's just come on with the... takes her by the hand like that, and then goes... It was hilarious! Any slight pretense of a serious word from the Lord was lost. Oh, dear. It was so funny. Literally... Red swirly bits and all. Hallelujah. So I'm not sure we're venturing there just yet, but I like the prophetic art though. Oh, I'm out of breath after all that prophetic dance. Maybe Chris and I should do a double act. Now then. I heard about you bouncing around the church last week, so... Without a tutu. I wasn't going to mention the tutu.
No, you were.
Hallelujah. Oh, God's good. Get filled, get victory, get purpose, get it sorted. Okay, now, if you've got a Bible and some bread, you can turn to Luke chapter 3. Oh, praise God. We also just received a lot from the Lord while we were out there. The messages you would have already heard, because it's what you get here. It's God saying the same thing. Amazing, isn't it? So I can't come back and give you this sort of long, quite sad really. You know, there's my chance to get some cool messages. And you've heard them. So that's that, really. No, it was brilliant. And we had a great time of receiving at the end. They did a fire tunnel-like thing. You've been where you've done one of those? All the leaders line up and you sort of go down through the middle. And Pastor Bill was talking about, as you go through the fire tunnel, God's going to impart, and God's going to impart to you today. We're not going to have a fire tunnel because there's only two of us but that have been through it, as it were. So we are going to pray for you. We are going to lay on hands because it's going to be an impartation. But what he was saying was, you know, as you come and receive, just get whatever you need, whatever you want. So I had three things that I may or may not tell you about. Because Bill said one thing, but I went for three, because you can't get to San Francisco and Reading very often, can you? So I figured God wouldn't mind. And Pastor Bill did indeed place his hand on the top of my head, and this sort of jolt went right through me. And I literally staggered out the end of the thing. I mean, some people were all over the place. I was only just a little bit over the place. I mean, some of them are Californians, so you can imagine. Right? I was British. We're controlled. Till the Holy Spirit gets hold of us. Anyway, and we also had a time when there was a time for people to pray over you and give you a prophetic word. And I was a bit skeptical, to be honest, to begin with, because you like booked a time for it and you went off. In the middle of a meeting, funnily enough. It's the end of one of Bill's preaches. So you just walk out of the meeting and go and line up, because there's so many of you, for your prophetic word, and you go in and you sit down, and you've been told in advance, don't talk to them. Don't tell them anything about yourself. Don't tell them whether the word's good or bad or accurate or whatever. Just listen. And so it was quite a strange, surreal thing, really, just walking in cold, sitting in front of three people. One of whom was a child, because they were all in threes all over the room, and one child with every group, which was a good thing. And they just spoke over us for about, well, it's recorded, so 12 minutes, 24 seconds, actually. And it's a 15-minute session. And the skepticism went very quickly, because the word that came sort of spoke straight into our situation. But it's very interesting, because it wasn't very... Most of it wasn't speaking of the future. Most of it just said, this is what you've been doing. This is what God said to you. And they were spot on. They talked about the, I don't know how many of you remember this, back from the beginning of KF Yorkshire, right at the beginning, she talked about you're in a place where there's been revival before and moves of God before, and you're opening up wells that have been there before. And that there was a very thin crust before a complete breakthrough. And it's interesting because you could prophesy breakthrough over a lot of people, but when it was done in the context of all this other accurate stuff, and as they said it about what God had been doing and was doing, it was all with God saying, and this is brilliant, and this is awesome, and I'm really pleased with you. So God's pleased with us. And that's nice, isn't it? Cool. All right. But this morning, get filled, get victory, get purpose, get it sorted, all right? Luke 3, verse 21. Here's Jesus himself. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Now that baptism that was going ahead is the baptism we still have today. It was a baptism for repentance. It was a baptism of washing yourself, of cleansing yourself. But at this point in time, it was about to be changed for all time. One of the reasons it was going to be changed is because when Jesus was sacrificed as the Lamb of God, there would no longer need to be any sacrifice for sins. And the cleansing, when you get baptized as a Christian, it's a once-for-all thing. It's done. You are. It's symbolic, but it's also spiritual. It's also prophetic of the fact that you're dead now. I don't know if you know that, but when you get baptized, one of the reasons you go under the water is because you're going to be put to death. It's symbolic that you are dead in Christ. Don't worry, we don't hold you under to make sure. But then when you come back out of the water, it's showing that you've been you're risen to a new life in Christ. Now, that's the water baptism. But here, something happened that was forever to change world history, because it hadn't happened like this before, but it was going to happen many, 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 many times again. Because at this point, and as he was praying, that's as Jesus was baptized, as he was praying, heaven was opened. And it's not closed. Heaven is open. The rule of heaven is open. What does that mean? Well, there's no sickness in heaven, so that's got to go. There's no poverty in heaven, so that's got to go. There's no need in heaven, so that's got to go. There's no distress in heaven, so that's got to go. You're getting the picture here. There was an open heaven, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And so that everybody could see, because this was the first time, it says that the Holy Spirit came in the physical form of a dove. But the Holy Spirit descended upon him. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. This was only the beginning. Because all those who would come to follow him, all those that would live under an open heaven, now we too can just be baptized. It's the same word, immersed in, saturated in, filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's a continuous, ongoing action where you're being continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. And there are times when, like this morning, a special impartation where you just like get a blast, if you like. But Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit descended on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." Jesus hadn't started his ministry, so it wasn't anything to do with his ministry. And yes, the love was unconditional. It didn't come with any strings attached that he hadn't done anything. But also, God was just well pleased that Jesus was just standing and willing to stand under an open heaven and receive the Holy Spirit. And this morning, if you just want the Lord to stand over you and say, "I am well pleased with you," beg your pardon. If you want the Lord to stand over you and say, "Well done, I'm well pleased with you," all you need to be is open to the Lord. Stand on an open heaven and receive his Spirit. And he'll be pleased, because he loves to give. He loves to give. There's nothing more frustrating to a parent than when a child won't receive what you have for them when it's good. You know, it can be for all sorts of reasons, but when the child won't receive, it's like, oh. And God's just pleased when you want to receive everything he has. "Lord, I'm just open to receive everything from you." Sometimes people doubt, you know, what's going on with the Holy Spirit. Well, don't worry about that. Just say to God, "I'm open to receive what you have for me. And anything that's not of you, I don't want." And God's a big God. He's not going to let something sneak in while you're being open to him. You know? Just be open to him, and then you'll hear the Lord's voice say, "I am well pleased." You'll hear, you'll know inside that God is pleased with you just because you want to receive. So here we have get filled. Okay? Get filled, get victory, get purpose, get it sorted. Let's move on to get victory, because now in chapter 4, verse 1, it says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, full. In other words, it hadn't started dribbled out and sort of run out in the few days since he got baptized. He was still full of the Holy Spirit. He was still continuously receiving from God. Full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. Oh, joy. Just where you want to go. I've been that. If you go out to Israel and you go out to the desert regions, it's not somewhere you want to be. It's not somewhere you want to be for 42 days being tempted by the devil, that's for sure. He ate nothing in those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. Now it says that the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And this is what the enemy's like. Now he doesn't appear in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork, because he's not stupid, you'd know who he was. You know? He sneaks up, he whispers in your ear. He might be inwardly in your mind. It might come from a relative. The way the enemy speaks to you and just starts to nibble away at your faith. And here, he starts with, if you are the Son of God. What do you mean if? There is no if. He knows there's no if. What he does is he sows doubt. He says it to you as well. He'll say, if you are a Son of God, not the Son of God, but are a Son of God. If. What if? There is no if. If you are the Son of God. And then he does what he typically does. He says something entirely reasonable and quite practical. He's hungry. If he's the Son of God, he can turn stones into bread. Hungry, bread, sorted. And that's what the enemy does. He comes in with very reasonable suggestions to take you away from the glorious plan and purpose God has for you. God has a brilliant plan for you. God has an awesome plan for your life. But always there are things that will whisper in your ear, whether it's through a person being used, really, or whether it's directly in your mind, or whether it's your own doubts, really, fueled by the enemy, trying to take you away. If you're really called, if you really are Christian, if you really are part of the church, if you really are anointed, no, it is. Now, you might be starving hungry. Jesus is not in a good place. He's been 42 days in a desert with no food. He's not in a place of rejoicing victory in that sense. He knows what to do. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. I mean, what a bizarre verse anyway. It sort of comes from nowhere. Have some bread. Man does not live by bread alone. Yes, but he's hungry. But he knows that you counter the lies of the enemy, the things that would take you away from your destiny, your purpose, even circumstances that are crowding in around you and saying, ha ha, it's all rubbish, ha ha, it's all going wrong. There's only one way to get victory in that, and it's to speak the word of God over that situation. It is written that man does not live by bread alone. And this happens again and again in this place, doesn't it? He takes him up to a high place and says, look, I'll give you all this. You can have all this, all authority, all splendor. What is the devil offering? It's not his to offer. Jesus already has a place in heaven. You can't get higher than that. But again, the enemy comes in and says, you can have this. This will be nice. You want this? You already have everything. In the terms of the prodigal son, you already have the whole farm. It's all yours. There's nothing the enemy can offer you that's any good. And he said, so if you will worship me, it will all be yours. If you just worship me, nothing much really. Just the same crazy devil. I do. You can have all this. Easy. And sometimes this seems a very easy route. But Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. He's full of the Word of God. And he says, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. I don't know what Jesus was feeling when he was offered the opportunity for bread. I don't know what Jesus was feeling when, under that hot sun and cold nights, he was offered everything. But then it doesn't matter what we're feeling. It matters what the Word of God says, because that will change those circumstances. Get filled. Get victory. How do you get victory? You speak the Word of God over every situation that is not in line with what God says. And it must come into line. It cannot do anything else. Get filled. Get victory. What about get purpose then? Well, go to chapter 4. You should be in it anyway. Verse 14. Jesus, after all this has happened, returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. What did he return to Galilee in? What did he go into the desert in? Yeah, full of the Spirit. What did he get when he was baptized? Full of the Spirit, full of the Spirit, full of the Spirit. Are you getting the gist here? And this was Jesus. And yet when Jesus was operating, it keeps mentioning full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. And he taught in the synagogues, and everybody praised him. So he goes into the synagogue, and he unrolls the scrolls for the day, and he speaks out this scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of the synagogue were all fastened upon him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Amen? How do you get purpose? You declare what the purpose of God is over your life. Jesus declared the purpose of God over his life. He stood up in the synagogue where he knew they would misunderstand him, but he was still going to do it. And you might be in situations when you declare the purpose of God in your lives and others might well misunderstand you, but you're going to declare it anyway. You're going to speak it out. It's not just speaking it out in your prayer closet, though it also is that. It's speaking it out to others. It's declaring, this is the purpose God has for me. His plans are for good and not for harm. Amen? But then look at this. Jesus stands up and says what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen? Why is this going to be fulfilled? Why is he going to walk in his destiny? Why is he going to walk in his purpose? Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. What happened at Pentecost? The Holy Spirit was released upon the church, everyone who believes. So, who's got the Holy Spirit now? So say the Holy Spirit is... No, don't say that. Say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Tell the person next to you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now tell them that you really, 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 really believe it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You see, it's not just a nice thing to say. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And you. You. And you. And you. If you know the Lord and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Now, does the Spirit of the Lord change? Is he a moody spirit? Does he stick to the word some days and ignore them on others? No, we know he's consistent. We know he's the Lord God and he doesn't change, yeah? So, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So if the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, doesn't that follow that what's written here is for what you are called to do? So when you are called to get purpose, here it is. So you and me, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do what? Preach the good news to the poor. Oh, well, I can't do that. No, you can't. Brilliant, you've realized it. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon you to preach good news to the poor. And we are in times, we're in this time of consecration before breakthrough. I mean, that's what kept being prophesied over us while we were out there in California. Breakthrough, breakthrough, the world top opening, fulfillment of words spoken over you. You're coming into something different. You're going to grab hold of something that's going to change your lives forever. This was the kind of thing constantly coming and being spoken over us, either in an individual word or in a general word. Those were all individual. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. But if we begin to declare this purpose, it will happen. There is no doubt. We just have to believe. But it's not just to preach. And it's not just to preach with words either. It's also to preach with our lifestyle. To show that there's something different. Because there is something different. We know Jesus. Amen? To preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. People are bound up with lies and false things being spouted from their television sets and their newspapers and everything else. Where evil is called good and good is called evil. There's a whole of stuff that's bound people. You know, it can be, I can't think of horrible examples. Take some simple one like astrology. Astrology bounds people up. They believe that because they're a Sagittarian, this kind of thing can happen and this kind of personality means there are and they're compatible with this kind of person. It's a binding. It's stopping them being who they really are. They think it's just a bit of fun, but it's just a bit of fun to wrap this chain around you. And eventually, even though you don't realize it, it begins to restrict you, even when it's just on the silly level, let alone when you get into the sort of the dark spiritual side of it. We don't go under any sign of the stars. We come under one sign, and that's the sign of the cross. And the cross speaks of freedom. Amen? Freedom for the captives. Freedom from marriages that are falling apart. Freedom from abuse. Freedom from drugs. Freedom from alcohol. Freedom from a life of despair. Freedom from depression. Freedom from cancer. Freedom from Alzheimer's. Freedom from all kinds of diseases and infirmities that ravage the body. Freedom from a life without hope. Free to live a life of joy, peace, and strength in the Lord. But who's got it? Those who've got the Spirit of the Lord upon them. Yes, you. And recovery of sight to the blind. Well, there's one miracle I didn't mention. And that's spiritually and physically. Yeah? To release the oppressed. I think we've already covered that. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And it hasn't stopped from that point when nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus stood up in a small synagogue and said it. Proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor. And it still is the year of the Lord's favor. And if you believe it, you'll receive it. And if you don't, it will pass you on by. And how do you believe? You just say, I believe it. I choose to believe it. I don't always feel like I believe it, but I choose to believe this over my understanding. This has been around a lot longer than me, so I'm going to rely on this rather than the fact that I had cornflakes for breakfast, or that the milk was a bit off, or that I didn't like the spaghetti bolognese I had last night, so I'm feeling a bit down today. Or more seriously, the circumstances that are surrounding you, I don't know, your jobs or your income or even your health, that's not coming to line with God's word yet, I'm not letting that drag me away from the promises I've had in God. I'm going to declare the purpose God has for me. Amen? Get filled. Get victory by speaking the word of God over what the enemy tries to do in your life. And then get purpose by declaring what God's purpose is for you. And God's purpose for you, well, we just read it. But there's a lot more in that book. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, says the Lord. Speak it out. God's going to prosper me. God's going to prosper me. Think big. Think huge. You know, one of the things that's been happening out in Bethel Church that we haven't seen here, and I believe is being released here because, as we've said, we're in that kind of flow, is a kind of anointing for creative ideas. And they're trying out everything, really. But in that pattern of creative ideas, people are getting ideas for business and products and things you could sell. And one guy had praying through this, had this inspirational idea that came from nowhere. I can't remember what it was now. But anyway, he sold the idea for $40 million. That's bringing the wealth into the kingdom. Amen? What a tithe. Anyway. Hallelujah. But why not expect that for you? Don't think little old me. Think big, wonderful God. Think big. Dream big. That's why we say dare to dream. The church has had its dreams stolen. Because things haven't happened and because, they say, well, people don't always get healed when you pray for them. Yeah, but others do. And we're seeing more and more. Yeah? Don't let your dreams be stolen. Because it's the Lord that's behind those dreams. You will dream dreams and see visions. God can do anything. Amen? Dream big. Get filled, get victory, get purpose. And the last one was, get it sorted. All right, 4th verse 38. Jesus left the synagogue and went home. It's time. What? Get it sorted, yeah. It's time for us to leave. Jesus, what he had in him could not be contained within the religious thought of his day. He had to step outside of the synagogue. And we've got to step outside of our church-minded thinking so that God can act through us. Church is so much more than Sunday morning, Thursday evening, whatever else we do. Church is 24/7. Church is every day of the week. We've got to step outside of church. But we've also, a lot of us, we've been bound by the thinking of the past and even the way the church has presented things in the past. And we've got to, right, God, you're just saying different things. He's not changing the truth. He's not changing the word. The word is still the word. But sometimes he presents it to us in a fresh way. You know, if God never did anything new, we'd have never had church organs. There was a move of God that happened and people wanted music in the church. They wanted to be able to sing. They wanted to be able to rejoice. They wanted a great sound. And so they invented church organs. And church organs came into the church and worship took off. It was a new thing for the time. Didn't think I'd pick that one, did you? Hallelujah. God does new things. There came a time when... No, I won't do that one. That wasn't a good one, so I won't go there. But nowadays we have bands like this, but it's just God bringing his truth to the world in a way that breaks out of what's the way it's been done before. And we need to break out of the way it's been done before and say, what's God doing now? How's he doing it now? There was a time in Acts when the gospel suddenly exploded amongst those that weren't Jews. And before that time, they were still going to the synagogue. They were still following all the way, all the Jewish rituals and everything else. And suddenly, they got all these people that weren't Jews in the church. And the leaders of that time, the apostles of that day, they were amazing leaders because they realized, we've got to get out of the synagogue. We can't just let things happen in the same way or we'll kill what God is doing afresh. And the church took off because they took away, they realized all the restrictions of the old didn't need to be placed on the new. I mean, obviously God was telling them, but they listened. Yeah, if they hadn't done that, we'd still have the followers of Jesus Christ probably living in a place called Israel, and that's it. It wouldn't have become a worldwide move of God. It had to change. It had to adapt. And you see this in history, that men and women of God hear from the Lord, and it's not that they're changing the truth. They realize that something's been neglected, or they realize something's got to be presented in a new way. And we're in a whole new thing as we go into the... Well, we're not going into the 21st century anymore in a way, are we? But as we progress through this century, God is changing church. He's releasing leadership like it should be. He's restored apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists. He's restoring people who believe in God. He's restoring the church to be a group of people that live for others instead of themselves. We've got to get out the synagogue. But that's not how we get it sorted, actually. Because what we've got to get sorted is this. Jesus left the synagogue, and this was why the next bit could happen. He got out of a small mindset. He got out of everything must happen on a Sunday morning, although stuff does happen on a Sunday morning. And he goes to the home of Simon, it says. Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. This is how the church has got to be. She could have sat around for days, weeks, having inner healing for the suffering that she'd been under. She could have had a bit of counseling. She could have needed to rest for a while because she'd just been healed. But this woman, I think, is a mighty woman of God because she gets her healing and she gets straight back on with the work. She doesn't sit around nursing her hurts. She gets into action. But this still isn't about getting it sorted. This is just leading up to it. Because then what happens? When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, read that again, on each one, not some of them, not just a few to be a sign, on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of people shouting, "You are the Son of God," but he rebuked them because he would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Christ. And, okay, you get filled. You get victory by speaking the word of God. You get purpose by declaring the purpose or the word of God over your life. And then you go and get it sorted. You look for the problem and you get it sorted. Where's the healing needed? Go in there and get it sorted. Where is their need? Go in there and get sorted. Where do people need help? Go in there and get it sorted. You've got the anointing of God on you to proclaim freedom to the oppressed, so go and find the oppressed. They don't turn up in your lounge very often, so go and find them. And don't just think, I'll bring them to church. You go with the Holy Spirit on you and get it sorted. And in situations in your life that come against you, whether it's sickness or whatever, get it sorted. You've got the Holy Spirit living in you. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. All this is happening, and Jesus goes off to be on his own. Why? Because he needs time to be with the Father to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Because he's got more ahead. He knows it can't be done in his own strength. The people came looking for him, and they came to where he was, and they tried to keep him from leaving them. Now, God is going to move powerfully upon us today, in the coming months, and certainly through next year. And people will start to say, this is good, we need to stay here. No, we don't. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit. We're moving on. Okay, it's good what's happening now, but we're moving on. We're moving forward. We're going for what God has. We're listening to God. We're getting away in that place. He says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also. We're not just going to have a move of God in this town, but we have other towns also. And that is why I was sent. And that is why I was sent. And you can say that over your life. And that is why I was sent. You are not just here by accident. You have been sent by the Lord. This is an apostolic church. What's apostolic mean? Someone who is sent. And you have been sent to this town, the town you come from, this region, this nation, to make a difference in this nation. Amen. It's twofold here. We're saying get the things sorted in your life, get things sorted elsewhere. But don't just focus on you. And very often, you get sorted because you get involved in what else is going on. But look what Jesus did. After all his ministry, he gets away to a solitary place to get filled. What do you do if you get filled, you get the victory, you're declaring the purpose, you get sorting out the problems, and it's not happening? What do? You go back here, you get filled, you get the victory, you get purpose, you get it sorted, and if it's not really happening, what do? You go back here, you get filled, you get the victory, you declare the purposes, and you get the problem sorted. And if it's still not getting sorted, what do? You go back here, and you get filled, and you get the victory, and you declare the purpose, and you get it sorted. And if it's still not happening, what do? You go back over here, and you get filled, and you get victory, you get purpose, and you get it sorted. Guess what? If it's still not the whole glory of heaven happening, what do? You go back over here, you get filled, you get victory, you get purpose, and you get it sorted. And if you still haven't seen Jesus come back and return and the glory of heaven unfolding, what do? You go back over here and you get filled and you get the victory and you declare the purpose and you get it sorted. Because this word about being filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore in everything that Paul's been saying that we're not going into, therefore, do not be foolish. That's good advice. Don't be stupid, people. It's not bad, is it? Well, how's that going to happen then? Understand what the Lord's will is. There is nothing more foolish than trying to live your life and not know what God is about. That's what the Word of God says. It's the way of a fool. Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And then he expands a little bit more. Don't get drunk on wine. What a strange thing to suddenly come out with when he's talking about understand what the Lord's will is. Why pick on something like getting drunk on wine? Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. It's because he's saying that the word debauchery there is actually... the word used is like the opposite of sozo. Do you remember me talking about sozo? It's the Greek word for save, completely, totally, restored with God. And the word used there is a derivative, but the opposite of that. It means which leads to being completely lost. Which leads to being completely wasted. It's like when you're getting drunk, and it doesn't really mean just wine either. It means getting your life full of all the stuff that's not of the Lord. All right, and it can be, wine in itself is not bad. The word used is oinos. It's the same word used when Jesus turned the water into wine. So bang goes the theory that he turned the water into grape juice. Because here it says don't get drunk on the same stuff, so it must have been wine. Anyway, that's a little aside. It says here don't get drunk on wine. Don't get drunk on the things of the world, or literally you'll completely waste your life. It's like God has given you this huge jar of precious life ointment. And what you do when you get drunk or you spend your time in just the world's ways, it's like you're taking that jar and just, oh, there's a drain. Oh, no, drain's too good. There's the loo. I'll pour everything that God has given me down the loo, and then I'll flush it. It's completely wasted. It's like the anointing, the glory, and everything that God has given you is just being poured away. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. The word filled is in the continuous tense, and it means continuously filled. Richly impacted. Hallelujah. Why is it compared with getting drunk? Because the Lord wants you, when you get drunk, not that I would ever know, there was a time, when you get drunk, you drink, and then you have another one, 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 and then you think, I'll have one more, because by that time you think you're fine. So you have another one. And then you need the street angels to help you get home. You get totally saturated in the wine. You lose control of how you normally think. You might even stagger around because you haven't got your full senses. You're completely lost in wine. And the word here is saying, and in the same way as you can get totally saturated, totally drunk on wine, get so totally filled and saturated and impacted and baptized in the Holy Spirit, so that you're staggering around under the impact of the Holy Spirit coming upon you, so that your life is not the same, so you're not thinking straight because the Holy Spirit's taking over. Hallelujah. And so when you have too much to drink, you become a little bit more outgoing, don't you? Yeah? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. You become a little bit more outgoing, but you don't go, you go, you say, Jesus is Lord. You get that ability to be able to proclaim the year of freedom for the captives. Something comes upon you. And instead of walking away, okay, when you get wine, you sort of stagger. But when you get the wine of the Holy Spirit, you walk with purpose. It's the opposite. It's a takeover. It's a surrender to the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I want you to drink of the Holy Spirit. Don't just think, oh, yes, a little, oh, Holy Spirit morning. Holy Spirit, fill me. Oh. Tip the cup over you. Grab the goblet. In fact, grab the stone water jar that Jesus had. And look, 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 till you're staggering in the Spirit. When we, Kate and I, lay hands on you, go, God, give me everything. I want everything. Even if I literally stagger out of here, I want everything. When Bill prayed for us, well, the whole team prayed for us, sorry, in the fire tunnel, he said, if you remember, I mentioned it at the beginning, ask for one thing that you need. Well, I want you to ask for two things, because we have double the amount. No. I want you to ask for two things. Just say, Lord, I want you to impact me with everything anyway, you know, apart from that. But if there's something that's personal, go for that. But then I also want you to say something for us as a body. All right, you receive it. If it's the new building, you receive it. We all run that. We've got the new building in the Spirit. God gave us that while we were out there. We've got the money for it too. But we all need to receive it. We all need that revelation. We've got it. That's cool. That's brilliant. Yeah. So you're going to be ready to receive. Yeah? Hallelujah. I'm not sure how anybody can fall asleep when I'm jumping around at the front. But there we go. A remarkable talent. Stick this over here out the way. Can the worship team come forward? Get filled. get victory, get purpose, get it sorted. And it's easy to look it all up because it was all in Luke 3 and 4. So it's nice and easy to remember. Get filled, get victory, get purpose, get it sorted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're not going to be doing long words today. If we can have the ministry team as well, some people might go, if you're not used to this kind of thing, sometimes people go over in the spirit. Sometimes when the power of God, it's a bit like drinking lots of wine, you fall over. Sometimes when the power of God comes on you, you fall over. And the ministry team will help with that. We'll have people on the front, but they also might be helping you up fairly quick to make room for others so that everybody who wants to be received from the Holy Spirit this morning can. I mean, you'd be daft not want to, wouldn't you, really? Here's God saying, this is for you. No, I'm a bit busy this morning. This is for you. Hallelujah. And Peter, when we've been going a little while, maybe you could go and, somebody just go and whisper to the children's team. If they could bring the children through as well, we can pray for them. Hallelujah. So who is it that's got the crackly lead, eh? Alright, let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we want to honor your word that says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you this morning. We want to be filled. We're going to get filled so that we can get victory, so that we can, oh, come on, Jesus, so that we can get purpose, so that we can get it sorted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that the way we used to see things happened is over. We're getting out of the synagogue. We're getting out of the old way of thinking. We realize that you are thinking big. You are dreaming big for us. You have big vision. You are excited about what's happening here, and this is moving forward. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now for all those that are going to be added to this church and saved into a life with Jesus. Father, we thank you for the churches of this town growing. Father, we thank you for people being added into the lives of Ebenezer Baptist and Scarborough Christian Fellowship and St. Mary's and Holy Apostles and St. Mark's and the other churches in this town. Father, we thank you for people being saved and added into each church in this town. Father, we thank you for a move of God in Scarborough that's going to touch Yorkshire, that's going to touch the nations, that's going to touch this world. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, I'm going to get these guys to lead in worship, and then you can just come forward. We'll lay hands on you, and the Holy Spirit will be imparted to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Let's get before God. Hallelujah. If you want the Holy Spirit, you just run down the front now, and Kate and I will just start praying for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.